Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful and we're so thankful for the privilege you blessed us with to be here this day. We'd ask you, Father God, that if it be your will, that you would just allow the power and the presence and the might of the Holy Ghost to envelop the presence of this room. Touch the hearts and the lives of us as your people, Father. Lord, I ask you to take this word and surely allow it to go forth and never return void. All of those, God, that we know tonight need a special touch from a righteous and from a mighty God. And Lord, that's all of us. Lord, we know of so many, many needs that we've seen today. But Lord, I already know that you knew those needs and you've worked in those needs well before I knew them. For Lord, we know that we serve a righteous and an almighty God. Thank you, Lord, for answering the prayer in so many's lives and hearts. Thank you for each and every one of these precious, precious souls that are here tonight. May God you bless them and meet the needs that they bring forth tonight to this meeting, so that you may be praised and glorified and always exalted. For I come tonight and I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I ask you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I'll be in chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Listen carefully to these words of God. Verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Verse 2, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that morality, immortality, might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us from the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnestness of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor, that wherefore, either we present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." May God tonight bless the reading of his word. These 10 verses that I've just read to you in Paul's letter to the Corinthian people, clearly Paul was speaking to those people about their hope of heaven. You know, it's easy always to preach and to share and to teach about how beautiful heaven is. But you know, heaven is a place if you subtract God from it. Heaven is a place if you subtract God from it. And you know, I think so many times, I know in my life, God gives me little trinkets of heaven in days of my life that I may know a little taste of what heaven will be. What God shares with me is only what my simple and feeble mind can comprehend. For there one day we'll have a new body. And we'll have a new life. And we'll live in the Spirit with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ in heaven. And you see, there'll be no need then for prayer. Thought that? Because forth in heaven there will also be no sin. There will be no burdens. Because there would be no infirmities. We would be and shall dwell in the house of our Lord forever. You know, we can read Scripture and we can study Scripture and we can memorize Scripture, but beloved, until God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can speak it down into our hearts, you know what? We're still missing the largest key to that verse, aren't we? Verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God in the house and not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. The word clearly is testifying to us where we are, where we shall be at the point that we have drawn our last breath. Amen. You see, our bodies, our outer beings, our biological beings that we have today, you see, they will not, as you see them today, enter into heaven either. But beloved, there is a part of you and a part of me as a believer that will enter into heaven, or either will enter into an eternal hell, and that surely is our soul. The soul is eternal. Heaven is eternal. Hell is also just as eternal as heaven. It never ends. Looking at this verse and expounding on the Word of God, here it says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, being our beings and our bodies, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Amen. Speaking of our spiritual beings with God, how would it be not to have an ache and a pain? How would it be not to have a problem when you get up of a morning trying to figure out where your medicines are, or where you're going to put your foot on the floor, or where your clothes are in the closet, or who do you need to call today, and do you have a doctor's visit to go to, or who was going to come see me today, or all these other things that we sometimes let control our days. And you know, sometimes we worry about those things, and we never have at that moment early in the morning even taken it before our Lord. Doesn't it seem like many times, if not most, in many lives, God seems to be the last one that we tell the problem to? We always feel that we can accomplish what we have need of before we call on God. Amen. The lady I gave you the example of today that I met, she clearly said that she really needed to pray for her husband. But she said, I just hadn't taken time to do it. That's a good, true example of just today in my pathway of life that I've heard someone speak with a very sincere heart. You see, she was acknowledging that she today had not done what God had placed on her heart to do, which was to pray for her sickly husband. But you see, what she did acknowledge was the fact that she knew it needed to come before God. The Bible tells us clearly, beloved, that we should be praying without ceasing. Amen. And you know, if we pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean that I never get off my knees. What it means is I never get the thought of the burdens off of my heart. For you see, if we live our lives every day and we continually give those burdens to God, which He tells us to, then you know what? God does a wonderful and amazing thing. He gives us a peace inwardly. That He's working in those needs. Amen? Amen. And I don't know if you could ever or I could ever have complete peace here. But I sure want you to know this. When God gives me the peace to a burden, just as He has in instances in my life this very day, He gives me a peace that surely, as the Word declares, passes any understanding that I can understand. I'm thankful for that. I praise my Heavenly Father for that. He is so good. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, does that not bring back thoughts from an earlier time in your life as an early Christian, as we read about Adam and Eve. You see, Adam and Eve were naked until the point in their life that they had sinned against God. And only then did God reveal to them their nakedness because of their sin. In our lives every day, we need to ask God to reveal to us our nakedness. No, nothing to do with your clothes, nothing to do with your biological bodies. I'm speaking of the nakedness of sin in your life or my life. You see, for if we don't present ourselves naked spiritually before God every day in our prayers and supplications, then we haven't really revealed completely to God our burdens, have we? Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnestness of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You've heard, and I've heard, and I have preached, and you have heard preached many times at a graveside service about being absent from the body and being present with the Lord. That is not what is being spoken in this one verse. Hear it again, if you will. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You see, what that verse really means is that if you're satisfied with where you are in this world, then you're satisfied with being and living in your body tonight and not looking for the things above that God has for you. Listen carefully to these other verses. Verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I have met and talked and spoke to many dozens of people in the last few weeks and months that clearly their whole life is defined by what they see with their eyes. I have met people that are blind and see no light. I have met people that are blind and see very faded images, but yet do not know how that they can go from point A to point B without first finding their way with a stick or with the leadership of a loved one. But you see, in our lives every day, we need to show God and let God know our nakedness of dependency upon Him. For you see, if you have it all together, and if you have everything that you know that you have need of, first of all, praise God. And then, be sure that you haven't fallen into complacency before God and God's people. Because it's so easy to be satisfied with what we have. And it's so easy to be satisfied with what we're doing for God. The last time I read in the Word, it says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You see, God don't need me. God don't need you. God desires you and myself to be His hands and His feet. He desires us to be His mouthpiece. He desires us to proclaim His goodness and His grace to all of people we meet that He places in our path. God desires that. But you know, we fall so short, don't we, of fulfilling the promises that God asks of us. Listen carefully to this verse. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be bad or good. Now, you know, we talk a lot about receiving the crowns and the diadems of glory in heaven one day when we have the opportunity to lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. There's been many songs, many hymns over many decades written about that. Oh, I'll lay my crown at the feet of Jesus, I hear people say all the time. Giving back to the one whom deserves. Giving back to the one whom allowed himself to be nailed to an old rugged cross and take upon himself and his beaten body one day the sins of you and me and all of this mankind in this world, and we call the people of this world. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things in his body." You know, if we really dig there, and probably very few people dig there, but God impressed me to dig there. And I've been for weeks digging right there in that one spot. And you know what happens when you dig and dig and dig and dig in the same place? You'll find the depth of the reason for digging. Amen? And what God showed me in that was astounding to me, was the fact that I understood then for the very first time in my life as a believer that He says, the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that He hath done. That's the good deeds and the things that we may do for the glory of God. You know what? The Bible's so clear, beloved, that we need to be laying up treasures in heaven where moths and rust and thieves cannot break in and destroy. You see, whatever we leave here, it's not going to be permanent. Amen?
Amen.
I'll promise you, it will weigh you down before God. The only way it can glorify God is if it be used to glorify God. Amen? For God's glory. The Bible clearly doesn't say that money is the root of all evil. I think God wants us to prosper. I think God wants us to be where we're sustainable from our hands and our labors. But you see, the Bible says that not the money, but the greed of the money is what causes all the evil that comes before us. And you know, I don't know if we've ever lived in a country, and I don't know if there's any countries in this world that today are not driven in some way by greed. Last part of this verse 10, and I'll close. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now you stop and think, the first thing you think about is good or bad? You see, you got to remember, this is speaking of our deeds, the things that we have done, that we have done all through our earthly life. You know, I've done things in my earthly life that if there's any way I could erase them, I'd erase them. You have too. If there's anything I could do in my life where I tried to go the extra mile for somebody, but I got beat up doing it, I said, God, give me the extra strength to go the extra mile again. Beloved, so many times we ask God for a hope of heaven. But these verses and this message I've shared with you tonight, it doesn't talk about any hope or promise that is given to everyone that we know, but rather it's a gift and a promise offered to everyone that you know, offered to everyone whom we know. Jesus clearly says that He chooses no one to be lost. David gives us the truth and understanding as a shepherd as he penned Psalm 23, verse 1 through 6, how it was that he trusted and he was sure that as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, that he would feel and fear no evil. He said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." There's many people that I know, beloved, today that talk a lot about God. And you know, it causes me many times to pray for many hours about people's needs that I don't even understand. But you know what? It's not important what I understand about your need, or it's not important for you to understand what needs are around you or my needs either. What's important is that you have a burden and you have a willing heart to pray on my behalf and to intercede, the key word, on behalf of the need and the burdens of your friends, your loved ones, your family, and all those whom you know, even the distant stranger.
Amen.
To let God know that you care and that God lives in your heart and you desire God to make a way. Today, I prayed for many needs very, very important needs. If I were to say that, you may not understand it, because every prayer is important. If it's worthy of bowing before God, if it's worthy of calling out to a righteous and a mighty God and presenting to Him your burdens and your supplications, I want you to know it's important to you, it's important to God. And that's exactly what I want to do right now in this service. I want you to bow your heads if you don't mind. And I want to give just a few moments if I can. And just let there be a few moments of silence in this place. I just want you to take a few moments and just have some quiet time with God. There's some of you in this room tonight that maybe haven't taken that time today. There might be some of you in the room tonight that have taken hours today to pray and to ask God and to bring forth supplication. But Lord, tonight as we close this service, I call upon You through the power of the Holy Spirit to bring forth healing in our land and amongst our people. Lord, Your Word clearly testifies in the Old and the New Testament both that we need to call and be near You while You are near us. Allow us, God, to call upon You at this moment in this time of this service. And God, reach out of the portals of heaven. And Lord, just wrap Your loving arms around us. Let us feel Your strength and Your power and Your presence, Father. Let us know, Lord, that You're God. Lord, we've spoken and we've shared about many, many needs just prior to this message being delivered. I pray, God, You'd work in a miraculous way in each of those needs. Lord, we don't pray for our will, our desire, our outcome. But Lord, we pray for Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us, Lord, to be strong for those whom are weak. And allow us, Father, to be meek before we fall in pride. May Your strength and Your grace and Your love and Your peace abound within us, Father. And Father, until the day that You call us home, may You find us all faithful in doing Your work and Your will. Bless the needs of all whom are here this day. Lift them and guide them and direct them, God, in any decisions they make, so that You may be praised. Father, I ask and I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This concludes tonight's live worship service. We pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, each one listening has been blessed through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us back again next week for another live outreach worship service as we together continue praising Jesus Christ. Those tonight who have made decisions to follow Christ, desiring additional biblical resources, or anyone with special prayer concerns, are personally invited to visit the Praising Jesus Ministry website. The web address is www.praisingjesus.org. That address again is www.praisingjesus.org. We want to thank each of you tonight for listening. We invite you back again next week as together we seek God to guide, mold, and speak to our hearts and lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Good night, and may God bless each of you, is my prayer.